Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sorry. I guess I did have to sneeze. So we've been talking about the writings of the Apostle Paul and the witness of the Apostle Paul the last several weeks. And this is also World Communion Sunday, so I thought it appropriate for our scripture passage for today to be one of the passages where the Apostle Paul talks about the ritual of communion and what it means to us. So we're going to reflect today, what does it mean when we say, this is the body and the blood of Christ broken and shed for you? And also, why is it that the Apostle Paul says that we proclaim the death of Christ until he comes again? So I want to start with a story. I was sitting in my efficiency, which is a nice word of saying small and old, apartment in Chicago. Some of you who have been college students may know and have lived, or in other times and places in your life, you may live, maybe have lived in small and old apartments. I was sitting there and I was having dinner with a friend of mine. Her name was Judy. We'd met the first day of graduate school in Chicago. And we were eating beans and rice because they're cheap. Judy and I are very different people. She's about 5'1", and I'm not. I was studying history. She was studying mathematics and logic. I was religious. She's not. So we were sitting there, and she looked up on the wall of my little apartment, and I had a little simple wooden cross made of walnut wood that my mother had bought for me. And she said to me, "Why do you have an instrument of torture hanging on your wall?" Now, that may seem like a very blunt question, but it's a reasonable question. Why is it that the symbol of our faith is the cross on which our Savior died? Why is it that in communion each week, in communion that has generally been the center of Christian worship throughout most of the history of Christianity, we remember that Christ died and shed his blood for us and that his body was broken for us? What is the deeper meaning of it all? Why did Paul say, proclaim the death of Christ until he comes? Well, I don't think that Jesus just came to die. I remember there's a song, or there's a, not a song, there's a lyric from a song I've heard many times that talks about Christ being born to die. If Christ had only come to die, we wouldn't have the witness and the powerful stories of the Gospels that talk about Christ healing people and teaching people and being in relationship with people and giving us the example of how we are called to live, to love each other. But by the same token, Christians have always remembered that Christ did, in fact, die. The early church did not try to hide it at all. And to quote the Apostle Paul from another one of his letters to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We need to remember that Christ died, but we also need to understand, what does it mean to us? Now, I'm not even going to begin to try to tell you all the things that the death of Christ means. I would imagine there have been literally millions of pages written on this subject, possibly billions of words. And I mean that. I'm not just speaking hyperbole here. But I do want to offer a couple of thoughts on this World Communion Sunday about what the sacrifice of Christ means and why we remember the death. And why, as we remember the death of Jesus, we remember that in Christ's death and in Christ's resurrection, the expectations of the world were turned on their head. So I want to acknowledge something. Humans have a problem. We're not always very nice to each other or to the other creatures that we share this world with. Human beings can be violent and mean. In fact, we sometimes even seem to enjoy violence. 2,000 years ago, quality family entertainment was taking your kids to the Colosseum to watch two lions fight with each other, or maybe fight with a human being. In our own country, 100 years ago, people would take their kids to lynchings and hangings. Shoot, even when I was in school, as soon as somebody said, "Fight!" in the cafeteria, everybody ran across the cafeteria to see what was going on. And I don't think that's changed a whole lot. And a few of you are nodding. Maybe that's something you witnessed in school as well. And even if it's not physical violence, how often do we engage in verbal violence? How often do we cut someone down? Do we insult them? Do we laugh at them? Do we make them feel less than? Or do we see at least someone make someone feel less than? We humans have a problem. And God has an answer to us. Sadly, human beings throughout much of history have seemed to think that violence shows strength and that violence shows power. That was why the Romans crucified Jesus and crucified other people. They didn't just want to kill you. They wanted to do it in the worst way they could possibly think of. And if you look at the religious ideas of a lot of the peoples that lived around where Jesus was living and ministering, people thought violence was literally how the world was created. If you were to go and talk to the Phoenicians, one of the passages of Scripture, Jesus talked and healed the child of a Syro-Phoenician woman. In the creation myth of her people, there was a god named Baal who fought a sea monster, killed the sea monster, cut the sea monster in half, and used the two parts of her body to create the world. If you ever read any of the Greek and the Roman myths when you were younger in school, I know I had to read a lot of them. I think you still have to read some of them. Or if you've ever seen Clash of the Titans. The idea was that the gods were violent and the gods fought. And you know what we say about our God? Our God suffered violence, but did not ask his followers to raise the sword to hurt back. Jesus Christ, and Christ, Jesus is, there's so many things are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the child of God, the only child of God. Christ taught us to call God Father, but somehow Christ was also God, God's self. So what we see is that the God who created everything, who had the power, gave it up and came into this world and lived alongside of us, and was willing to send God's child into danger for us, was willing to suffer for us, and not try to solve the problems of the world with more violence and more vengeance. You ever heard that old saying, "Don't get mad, get even"? That is not of God. God was willing to be beaten for us, and mocked for us, and stripped for us, and whipped for us, and have a crown of thorns jabbed onto God's head. And then God was nailed to a cross for us and left there to slowly suffocate to death. And God did not say, "They did this and wait to see what happens when I come back." Rather, God, through Jesus Christ, rose from the dead and said, "Love others." What's the most important thing? Love God and love your neighbors. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies, I should say, and pray for those who persecute you. That in the end, you'll never find peace, you'll never find security, you'll never find purpose in life by trying to have power over others. It will only be when you love God, accept God's love and forgiveness, and love others that you'll find the true meaning and the purpose of life. We remember that Jesus died because God loves us so much that God was willing to die for us, to suffer for us. And we remember that Jesus died and then rose again to show that in the end, all the power plays of the world and all the meanness of the world could not overcome the unbelievable, life-changing, world-changing, universe-changing love of God known to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on this World Communion Sunday, as we take this bread and this cup and remember that God's body, this child of God's body, was broken and wounded for us, let us remember this is how much God loves us. But let us also remember that we come to this table with fellow children of God, with siblings in Christ all over the world, that God invites everyone to the table. Everyone from every background, everyone from every place, everyone from every health situation, people of all times, we are all invited to this table because through Christ, God seeks to not just reconcile the entire world with God, but to reconcile us all with each other so that maybe, and I shouldn't say maybe, so that there will come a time that humans thinking that violence and power over each other will fix things will finally end, and we will realize that it is love, as taught to us by Jesus Christ, that offers us hope and purpose in the future of our world. So today, please know you are loved more than you can possibly imagine. And Christ invites you to learn to love everyone else more than you can possibly imagine. And that is the good news. Amen.